Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday. My Trish girl's here.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you
I
doing?
Love there? Thursday morning.
Hey, phone lines here 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com here on March the 17th. 7 minutes after 7 here on this beautiful Thursday.
And it's 58 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high of 77 and a low of 46. And sunny, and tomorrow on Friday, we're looking for another sunny day, high of 74 and a low of 49. Mostly sunny on Saturday with 68 and a low of about 49. And we're looking for nice weather through the weekend, and that's just a great thing to have because we had a really wet weekend, and now we'll have a good weekend, and then hopefully we'll get some more rain. Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Yeah, our buddy's down there. Okay, good morning, everybody. And it is Thursday, and, of course, on the spot with Linda Bott tonight at 6 p.m., but Trish is here. You know what, Trish?
Yes.
If the light had been red when I noticed your car screaming down the road here,
yes,
and in fact, as it was turning, and you were on the two wheels on that turn,
yes,
and you slid into the parking spot,
yes,
and
yes,
out. Uh-huh. That, you know, that I think even if you'd been a second later, the lights weren't fast enough to catch you as you came through that light.
You think? Well, I did text you this morning to say I was just running just a bit late.
Oh, I did. Well, you know what?
And
people that text me in the morning, I don't see them because
I do not bring the
phone in here.
Okay.
And I leave it on a charger in the office,
okay,
and I kind of wander in here. Otherwise, you know.
Well, I did let you know that I was just a tad late for whatever reason, and gosh, that awful hour. You wouldn't consider doing a night drive time. I mean, you know, from like 4 to 6.
That might be fun.
Yeah.
That might be fun. 4 to 6 and then catch everybody then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I love doing the show, but it's that oh dark 100 hour that when that alarm goes off that really makes me rethink my life.
I don't know. I've got, you know, we got Sun Gold and Jarhead in here and, you know, and Angel will be rolling in. We've got a bunch of people listening. You know, in the morning, let's get some started here.
Okay, good.
I was in a yoga class. I know it sounds funny. I was crowded into that. Except, you know, I know I like yoga. It's good for stretching and
yes,
all those
is.
Other things. Anyway, this woman is looking at me, and she says, and she's sitting up because we're, you know, getting ready to lay down on the mat. She says, wow. She says, I recognize that voice, but I'm usually laying down. And I kind of went. Luckily, Linda was sitting next to me. She says, yeah, in the morning, my alarm comes on, and it's a radio alarm, and it's you and Linda. You know, I recognize that voice now. And I'm like, well, I'm glad that you cleared that one up. You know, I still have to walk out of here.
Every overnight DJ's had somebody come up to him and say, I go to bed with you every night.
Yeah.
Really?
Johnny Carson. I've been in bed with Johnny Carson I don't know how many times.
There you go.
Okay. A lot of stuff going on. Now, today we have Brent Weaver coming in. And
Councilman
he's going to talk.
Brent Weaver, yes.
The what?
Councilman
Brent Weaver. I thought you said California Brent Weaver. And I thought, whoa, okay.
Is that no. Councilman?
That's a new song. No, and there's a lot of things to talk about. We had Carol Ferguson of the Record Searchlight on Monday. And Carol was fired up about the housing situation. And then I talked to some other people that are just, I mean, this lady is just the nicest person in the world, and she knows who she is. Really fired up about the homeless. And, you know, and the fact that decisions are being made to not to do things, but there's nothing substituted to do something.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you can't just continue doing the same thing. And then you roll in here with the sheriff yesterday that says, you know what? I could have 15. He's trying to hire 15 deputies. He's got the money in the spots for 15 deputies. And he can't hire them because a number of reasons. He just hired one. Their pay is so much lower than any other law enforcement agency around here.
This is true. The sheriff's office, generally speaking, in any community is lower than the city cops.
He gets good guys, and they just transfer out.
Yes, they do.
They either go to the Reading Police Force or they go other places. They don't even have to move, and they get like a 25% pay raise.
But the reality is, until and at such time as the county gets in a position of citing good businesses in the unincorporated area that create sales tax, that's going to continue.
Yeah, because right now they're flat.
And because the sheriff's department budget already is the biggest budget in the general fund budget. It's not like they're not giving him everything they got.
And they
just need to focus. We keep going, and now they want to take a position in favor, the Board of Supervisors wants to take a position in favor of Costco staying in the city of Reading. Makes no sense whatsoever. Don't take a position. But if you're going to take a position that helps the budget for the county, i.e. it should locate in the unincorporated area and or in the city of Anderson where they actually have a sales tax agreement.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I know.
They need to do something about their budget, and they need to focus on it.
You and Les Ball agreed on that one.
Well, that'd be one.
Okay, a lot of things to talk about today.
Yeah.
Of course, when he's in there, we're going to have, I want to talk about Trump and the, because I haven't heard from you, since Super Tuesday.
Right.
A lot of things going on, too, like Highway 3 is gone.
Yes, it is, and it's gone for a long.
Highway 2.75, actually.
Yeah, 2.75, right. I don't know if you've seen the photos.
I have seen the photos.
It's just gone.
It is, and I don't think a lot of people understand when you start thinking about the real reality of a highway like that being closed that cuts off several communities. I mean, the kids from Coffee Creek and Trinity Center and what have you, they couldn't get home. They can't go home after school. They're trying now to look for hot places for them to be so they don't miss school, but they can't get to Weaverville to school.
And there's no way around it.
Well, there is, but it's a long way around. There's a couple ways around, but you're talking hours.
Hours. So you got to figure out you're going to have to take teachers over there?
What are you going to do?
Put them in motels over there?
I mean, you've got quite an elderly population over in that area, Trinity Center, Coffee Creek, the whole area. They got to go to the doctor.
3 months.
Exactly. They got to go to the doctor. They got to go shopping. They got to go. And you're talking several hours to get out and back and around.
So
it's a huge deal.
It's before Hay Fork. Is that right?
It's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay, before Hay Fork, which is a major population center on Highway 3 heading to the coast.
That's a son of a gun.
I wonder what you got to do is turn this over to the growers. Say, we need to have that highway fixed so you can get your stuff in there. Trust me.
They'll make it happen.
Oh, if it's going to happen, you'll have these temporary bridges put up there, like you use in the military.
Yeah.
The military could do that. I mean, if they wanted to do that, they could bridge that probably with the temporary bridges. I mean, I'm not sure. How wide is that? Do we know how long that break is, Bob?
Well, the problem would be is that there's really... No
place to anchor it?
Yeah, there's no place. That's all rotten old decomposed granite that just disintegrates.
Because a lot of times you've got these bridging things that are 20, 30 feet wide, and they can lay them from one end to the other, but I'm not sure how wide that is.
It's all unstable across there. So.
And the reality is, even though it is an impact on a lot of people on the scale of things in the state of California, one more area where we notice that we don't get the same attention as somebody else, the population base compared to Los Angeles, San Francisco, blah, 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 is so small that it's not going to get high priority.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a major thing to anybody but those people that live up there. That's kind of like a blip on the radar down in Sacramento and nothing. It's federal level.
Well, that is one of the major routes, though.
Yes,
from
it is.
From this side, from central northern California, I mean, for people taking I-5, want to go on up there, they can go on up into Oregon and cut across that way, but that's still, if you want to go the one of the most one of the most direct routes is 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would think that they would take a look at this and trying to get something. Well, they said it's going to be, but they're throwing everything they have at it. They said 3 months.
At this point, they're looking at they're supposed to have a contractor on duty.
Special contractor.
Week. Hopefully it'll work good. Okay. But it is an issue.
7:16 in the morning. We got to take a quick break here on March 17, 2016. This portion of the show brought to you by Cody Titus and Properties by Merit. Properties by Merit, locally owned, locally operated. Great place here if you want to buy some property. And Cody represents buyers and sellers whenever it's someone buying their very first home, looking for investment properties, or finding the dream ranch you've always wanted. That's right. Cody Titus and Properties by Merit. Give them a call at 209-0721. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott. Trish Clark. Let's talk about Bethel Music. Something strange going on over there.
Continue to tighten up across the country. Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
National news with a local view. KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock here on March the 17th, it's going to be a simply beautiful day. 58 degrees right now, going up to 77. It's going to be sunshiny and warm, and it's just going to be a great, great, great day. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at the Reading Civic Auditorium. I tell you, they have some of the greatest shows coming through here. You know, on the 20th, Celtic sensation Lorena McKennick is coming in for an intimate evening of music. But on the 26th, that's right, Jay Leno is coming to town, and Jay Leno is absolutely funny. If you've heard him say, the two elderly guys got in a fight, and they were hitting each other below the belt. But what chance do they have because their belt's up to their shoulders, you know, at this point?
Yeah,
or something like that. Anyway, it was cute. Anyway, hey, Jay Leno is going to be in town March the 26th. So you can get your tickets over there at readingcivic.com. And remember, go to readingcivic.com. Don't go anywhere else because there's other ones that sound like that, but they're out there to scalp you.
Yeah, and if you're looking at prices at the Civic Auditorium for $200 and $250,
yeah,
you're in
the wrong spot there. Yeah, because they're going. Yeah, you've got much, much more reasonable. 229-0022 is the phone number over there. Okay, we were trying to find that.
I found the clip. I'll have to find the right portion of it.
Oh, okay.
It's a minute long, and you don't want me to play a minute of looking for something. So
no, just he'll find the right spot there. So I'm going to just leave that one for
okay,
you.
Okay, well, wait.
Let's talk about Bethel Music a little bit. They're topping the charts right now. They're beating Adele. They're beating Chris Stapleton. They're beating everybody.
Who is that?
Bethel Music.
Bethel Music.
And this song or this album called "Have It All," it tops the iTunes charts.
It's wow.
10 songs. And it has 10 songs in it, and they talk about life and redemption and these things. And it's all the songs are written by locals, and it is like number one in iTunes. Now, this is not the first time they've done this. Like 4 years ago when I went through, I took a tour of Bethel. I mean, I don't go to Bethel, Linda and I do not attend Bethel. But I took a tour of Bethel because, when they were getting ready to do or 5 years ago when they were doing the auditorium, when they were taking over the Civic.
Yes.
Because I wanted to know more about them before we made any decisions. They were just completely open, took me all around. I saw a music, not a music store, but a bookstore there on their campus about the size of these two studios with one cash register that did $1 million a year.
Wow.
Out of that store. And then went around, but I went over to their music and their television, center that they have. It's off on Caterpillar. Then they had an album that had 4 songs on it that was like the third most downloaded, album anywhere in Nashville and New York. We're trying to figure out, who are these guys? Who is this? How many people? I mean, why? They couldn't understand it. 4 songs on an album.
Uh-huh.
You know, 3 or 4 or 5 songs on an album being the third most downloaded. Bethel Music. Story of redemption, Christ, and all this.
Yeah.
Saving.
Well, and
yeah.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people are just having a hard time getting their arms around the fact that, this still is a Christian country.
There still is a Christian nation here. and that is the hard part because a lot of times you feel like the Christian, if you're a Christian, that you are under attack. You know, they talk about Black Lives Matter, and I just saw where a lady here got a $225,000 grant to see about the Native Americans that are incarcerated and that their ratio of incarceration is much higher than their percentage of population. But part of the problem is actually being able to count Native Americans, who's a Native American? Is it a percentage? Is it, what?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking is that it's still a Christian nation. It's that all lives matter. And I understand the Black Lives Matter movement, but it's all lives matter. But as a Christian, you should be able to live your faith and not be hammered by the government or a group, of the equal opportunity group the labor relations board because in my faith says I cannot support this.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the cake baking.
Yeah.
And they get hit, they get put
cake
out of business.
Flour,
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry. It's not like you're given heart, you're not given heart transplants and you're the only one in the country. You're talking about baking a cake. Oh, no, you can't do that. Well, yes, I can. You cannot come to my church and expect me to marry you because my church is against that.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just saying is that, and what about the chaplains on bases? Many of the chaplains on the bases have the right to say, I'm not going to marry two people of the same sex. There could be, you can get married off base or you could get married by a chaplain that wants to do it.
You know, the reality is that we spend way too much time in this country talking about our differences and the things that separate us, and we need to get back to thinking about the fact that we're all Americans and we're tolerant of each other.
We should be tolerant of each other.
That means we can be tolerant and let you,
and still move forward.
And still move forward. That doesn't mean that I have to accept or condone everybody's lifestyle or beliefs. It means I simply tolerate it. They do what they want to do without infringing on me, and I do the same.
Without infringing on them. And you know what? I can't go to every place that I want to. I'm not going to sue them because I can't.
That's exactly right. But we've gotten to the point where everybody wants to be different and recognize their Mexican heritage, their Muslim heritage, their African American heritage, their Indian heritage, and we need to stop that and back up and stop with the culturalism and all of that and celebrate the fact that we're Americans.
I agree. And by the way, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, I love that.
You got
green. I actually have a green
shirt. You have green on. Okay, after everything we just said, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, absolutely, green beer.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, no.
Oh, no, that's in May.
That's in May.
But I have a good time with that one, too. Okay, from now on, all the bump music is going to be Irish music. Forgot about it, too. You were saying this. And by the way, happy anniversary to my daughter and my son.
Law. Oh, there you go.
They got married on St. Patrick's Day, gosh, 15 years ago. Good luck, Erin Go Brath.
Erin Go Brath. You know, and see, but that's what this country has always done. We've been able to look at the Irish and the Germans, and we have celebrations. We have the Hofbräu. We have the German Beer Festival, all of those different things. And we've been able to do that as a country without a separation or what have you. We remember our
assimilation.
But it's assimilation.
Yes. We need to keep assimilating and moving forward.
And we're not doing that. We're coming in and setting up little concaves, you against me.
And we need to stop that. And that's one of the things that's happened during this last administration. Now, I'm not saying it's all his fault. It can't be. Because he can be the impetus. But it's got to be people that are playing along with this whole thing. And I'm not talking about people of color. I'm talking about all people. You've got to keep moving forward. Like, it's Martin Luther King's birthday. Listen to what some of the things this man said about everybody being, recognized for what they do and not what their color is.
Exactly.
And that's what it's not just of color, but it's of religion and to move forward. And we're not having that. We need this next election, unfortunately. And we need that person that's a unifier. And I'm not sure what I see out there running can do that.
Well, not
right now. I mean, unless people have got to literally, the day the person's elected, and I'm not saying who it is, they have got to take a step back and a deep breath and say, okay, we need to work forward to making our country great again.
We do, but we need to change the direction we're going in, and it can't just be, we need to change what we're doing. So we can't elect somebody who's just going to go along and go back there and get along with the mindsets that's there. And when we talk about we need to unify and all work together, we do, but both sides have to change. The people that have been in control back there, they've got to compromise. That hasn't been happening.
True. That's true.
The reason the country is so upset is because we keep electing people who we thought were going to go back there and make a change in direction, and all they've done is get along with the Democrats.
Well, the thing is that both sides have to. Our country, we have a great country, but it doesn't mean that we can be this fabulous, great country that's still this shining city on the hill continuously unless we work together to keep moving forward. It doesn't mean you have to agree with each other.
But you've got to both sides have to bend.
That's what I'm saying. Both sides.
And that's what's not
both
happened.
Sides they always have to pitch in. Like they used to, and you know what? We can argue during the day, and we can have a bourbon at night, or a margarita,
or a beer, whatever,
and then keep moving forward.
But both sides have to compromise.
Both sides, and it can't be just one way.
Well, and we never hear that in the media. We hear about the Republicans that don't want to cooperate. We hear about Ted Cruz who just wants to dig his heels in and argue with everybody. But the reality is, the Democrats have said, my way or the highway, and so the Republicans have been folding over and going along with
well,
it. And that's got to stop.
And this has all got to stop. It's got to be something that both sides get. Okay,
and
we got to take a break.
And the country needs to unify behind whoever is the new president.
Whoever it is. So let's take a quick break here. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Wellgate Sports. You know, they've got this great program going on right now where it's aqua personal training. You get into the pool where you don't have get all the damage on your joints and everything, but you're doing, you're working out, and you're doing yoga in it, and you're doing, I'm making all these moves too, increases your flexibility, ranges of motion. I mean, you're not just, you know, pounding on the ground. Linda's doing it. She loves it.
She is, best, you know, form she of
is, yeah, world. Yeah. I tell you what, she has really seen the difference too. And you get 12, 24, 36 session packages available. Plus the fact that it's the club over there has everything. I was over there, plenty of machines to walk. The stair climbing, you can do the ellipticals, plus all different types of not only weight machines, but also free weights there. Spinning, steam room, the whole thing, or the sauna and the whole thing. All of it right there at Wellgate. You're not going to find a better place there. Give them a call at 768-1205 and stop by 1740 Eureka Way, Eureka and Court Street. Perfect spot there to get in there. Plenty of parking. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Down the years, our greatest expert.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved.
Not very far, just a couple hundred yards to the west.
So they can build a new and bigger and better showroom and service facility for you.
It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be incredible when it's completed.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved to 380 East Cypress while they build their new facility. So let's have a moving sale.
All 2016 Kia Sorentos, 16 Kia Optimas, Fortes, Sportages, Souls, and Rios are priced to move.
Make no payments for 90 days on new 16 Optimas and Sorentos, Redding's go-to fun vehicles.
0% financing available on certain models.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every new car purchased.
And America's best warranty.
Head them up. Move them out. Come on in.
Subject to prior sale, ends April 1st. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for 0% offer, plus tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation fees, and any emission testing charges.
Well done.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved.
Redding Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and RedingKia.com.
Don't miss the moving sale at Redding Kia.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song.
Save the date, May 20th. Chicks and Chaps is right around the corner. Deadline for purchasing tickets is May 1st. Only 100 tickets will be sold, and the tickets are selling fast. Chicks and Chaps and the Reading Rodeo Association Auxiliary are holding their 5th annual Breast Cancer Awareness Fundraiser. There will be awesome raffle prizes, a one-of-a-kind buckle from Montana Silversmith, great food by Mary's Pizza, fun and informative guest speakers, including a breast cancer survivor. The proceeds from our event benefit Mercy Foundation North and NorCal Think Pink. Special thank you to Sierra Pacific Foundation, Cinerama, and Dutch Bros. Purchase your tickets now only online before they sell out at www.chicksandchapsreading.com. Chicks and Chaps, May 20th.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song.
Hi. I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
I wonder if he's dead. I wonder if he knows he's got a kid with a foxy head. So right away, so right away, so right away, Salonica.
Welcome
right
back to
away.
Free Fire Radio.
And
with
happy
Carl
Bott Patrick
and
Day.
Trish Clark. It is the top of the morning to you, Loss. And it's...
The day of bad fake Irish accent.
It is, but you don't get used to it because it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Get over it, Bob.
But get over it. In fact, I want you to do it, too. I want you to try. Give me one. Jimmy, come on.
Kiss my Blarney.
Kiss my Blarney.
Oh,
you know what?
Okay.
This is the attitude I work with. Everybody thinks he's just a jolly guy, but he's not. He's mean. You know, he's, you know, if it wasn't for his wife, you know, who, you know, probably nobody would talk to him. She just kind of mellows him out. Okay, give me one. Try. Come on.
Sharon, I don't do well under that sort of pressure.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Let's go get. Let's, okay, the Irish greeting. Let's drink. Let's fight.
All right. Welcome back, and it is St. Patrick's Day, and let's go to the phones. Henry.
Yes, good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
I am fine.
Good morning, Henry.
First, I'd like to say that I'm certainly glad I didn't wake up with you this morning.
Well, you know what?
That being said.
You know, think of the heroism that Linda faces every morning.
I can understand that. Say, I think I've come to a conclusion.
Okay.
First of all, I've heard you speak many, many times about building a strong, very, very strong military. And I've heard you speak about the mess we've got in the Middle East many times. And I've heard you speak about the national debt. And I've heard you speak about the, what do they call them, undocumented aliens. And I've heard you speak about the refugees not coming into this country without getting checked thoroughly and such. You know, it sounds to me like you've got the same values that Mr. Trump has.
I would hope that most Americans would have those types of.
And I have too, and I think that he would be an excellent president.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of people that believe that, and I'm waiting for him. I guess I'm waiting for him to kind of come down off the step down off the ledge from the fights in the. In the primaries.
And the TV star.
And the TV star stuff. And start hearing some substantive stuff about how he's going to do this.
Well, I would too. And I think that that'll come, you know, if and when he's nominated.
Well, I would hope so. But I think it's time for him now.
Well, you don't open the kimono until you get through the preliminaries.
Okay. Well, let's keep. Well, but I think there's. You can still. Keep the kimono closed, but you can still start taking a attitude of a more world-like attitude and a more national-type attitude as opposed to, I mean, right now, the only person that has any chance at all, maybe, of catching him might be Cruz, and that's if everybody threw their you know,
if all
delegates.
The other candidates
but
support,
I don't,
yeah.
I think it's time, yeah, you can still keep a little bit of pressure on Cruz, but now it's time to start reaching out at Hillary, and he has. But also time to start saying, how would you do this? How are you going to build the military, same time cut the unfunded liabilities that we have? How are you going to build our economy back? Besides the bombastic statements of, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll force them back over here. Well, I mean, how are you doing that? I mean,
you've got to have a plan. There's no question about that.
But that's what I'm waiting for him to do. Waiting for him to show me a plan, or at least something in that general direction.
Okay,
well,
but
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I don't know which the Republican hierarchy hates worse, Cruz or Trump. I mean, I think
they're having a struggle with that.
And I think that when it comes time to the convention, if one of them doesn't get enough votes to be nominated, then I think they're going to try and do an end run around them.
Around both of them?
Around both of them, yeah. Because they really don't want either one of them in there. I think it would be wise if they got behind one or the other. And, you know, I think Cruz is a good man, too. I really believe that. But I think that they're going to have to get behind one or the other, or they're going to lose the farm.
Okay, can I just say something about Mr. Trump in the middle of this? Because I want everybody to remember, Cruz is a proven thing. We know what he is, what he does when he's elected, and how he acts. At this point, all we've got is Mr. Trump saying what he believes now, which I will remind you is somewhat different than the way he's lived his life and what he has said he believed before. I think if, in fact, the things he's saying now are accurate and he can move forward with those, he'd make a good president. At some point, he's got to decide which side he's on.
Right, and I'll tell you, I heard a comment the other day. I was sitting in the doctor's office with my wife, and this fellow says, well, he went bankrupt. Well, in big business, and I've been associated with some very large businesses in my career, when a business isn't making money, that's what you do is you bankrupt it. Now, there are certain detrimental things that come along with that. But the fact remains that that's good business. And he's done that.
A couple three times.
Huh?
A couple three times.
Oh, yeah, two or three times. But he's had a career, and he's got... He's been very successful at what he does, so he is a good deal maker. There's no question about it.
I concur.
All
Thanks
right.
for calling, Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
You bet. Bye.
Well, don't worry. We're going to get plenty of time here for you, Jerry Kohler.
Enjoying the experience.
Yeah. Getting close.
Wait,
okay, you're on now. Right. Well, it just sounded like we didn't hadn't had you turned on, but
oh,
we did.
Okay,
hey, Jerry's here for the 4th Annual Winnie and Roses Spring Gala, Saturday, April the 2nd. Wow. What's this for?
Well, it's a fundraiser for Safe Haven Horse Rescue. We're a horse rescue operation, nonprofit, 501c3, been in business for about 20 years, just between Anderson and Cottonwood. We rescue and rehome horses. Last year we rescued and rehomed about 45 to 50 horses for a variety of reasons. But that's primarily what we do, and this is our major fundraiser in order to pay for those expenses.
Okay. Now, you've got a number of sponsors here that it looks like. You have the Anderson Rotary and the...
Anderson Rotary Club is the sponsor. They prepare our meal for us. We have a prime rib dinner that night.
Yeah.
And they cooked that for us.
Full bar, music, door prizes, raffles, silent and live auctions. You got the Red Bluff Daily News is here, and Budweiser, and a Cottonwood Veterinary Clinic, and Downrange Indoor Training Center. Where's
yes.
that at?
It's in Chico.
It is, huh?
Yes. Yep.
Is that an indoor range?
They have an indoor range. Great guys. The two Chico police officers run that. Excellent operation. But we have a lot of sponsors. We have Channel 9 is one of our sponsors.
Okay.
All
right. So doors are going to open at 5 p.m. on mm-hmm. Saturday, April 2nd. You can get tickets at Mary's Pizza Shack, Boot Barn in Anderson, Cottonwood Veterinary Clinic, The Loft inside Reynolds Ranch, and Farm Supply in Red Bluff. Now, or you can check out safehavenhorserescue.org. Now, Jerry, where do you get your horses from? Do people call you, or do they just show up at your door?
No, we get probably three or four calls a day from people, and for a variety of reasons. We have people who just can't afford to keep their horse anymore, all the way up to just recently we brought a horse in that had been abandoned in the field for over 2 years.
Oh.
Somebody just left it there. We have horses that come in injured, sick horses, all kinds of reasons.
So and, do you ever adopt these horses out?
We do. That's our main goal, is to bring them in, rehabilitate the horse, do whatever is necessary, veterinary services, dental services, farrier services, whatever needs to be done. We provide the horse with some training to make sure it's safe. Sometimes it can be ridden, sometimes it can't, and then find an appropriate home for it.
Now, when you say sometimes it can be ridden, sometimes it can't, sometimes it may be aged, or is it just sometimes they're just
sometimes
hard.
They've just never been ridden.
Somebody could train them to ride?
In many cases, yes.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they'll come in and they can be ridden, but they'll be arthritic. They may have, a foot problem or something like that. So they can be ridden in a gentle way, but...
Arthritic and foot problems and old, so kind of like a retired sailor.
I can relate to that.
Yep. I hear that.
Been there, done that. but in most cases, most of the horses that come in, once they come in and we run them through our process, they're really good horses. I mean, we have some really, really good horses. We just recently had two come in that are two registered quarter horses that were underfed. And we've been feeding them now for over a month. Almost 2 months, and they're starting to be beautiful horses, and so those will make some great homes for somebody.
Are they older horses?
No, these are, well, old is relative.
Yeah,
you know.
So do you sell the horses or do you adopt the horses?
No, we adopt them. What we do is for some of the horses, we'll charge a fee for it. Like if we have to put a lot of money into a horse in order to rehabilitate it, we try to recoup some of that
mm-hmm.
because we are a nonprofit and. All of our money is from donations and from, rehoming our horses. And that's the only only income that we have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a veterinary service that helps you with
yes,
this?
Yes, Cottonwood Veterinary Service helps us a lot. You know, they can't do it for free because, I mean, our vet bill alone runs us about $6,000 a month. And so, but wow. Those guys are great down there. They provide all kinds of free gratis services.
Free gratis. Right.
Yeah. We're talking about the fourth annual Winnie and Roses. This is the spring gala. This is the annual charity benefit for Safe Haven Horse Rescue. It's going to be at Fresero Hall. It includes dinner, dancing, door prizes, raffles, silent and live auctions. Tickets are like $40, which sounds really reasonable.
It's very reasonable. Prime rib dinner. This is a first class event. It's one of we like to say it's our cowboy classic or cowboy gala, whatever you want. You can wear jeans, and what I'm wearing right now is perfect jeans and a shirt. It's fine, but we have tablecloths on the table. And we have real dishes, and we have roses on the table.
Is it a disc jockey or a live band?
It's a disc jockey.
Okay, but the good music.
Good, great music.
Good dancing music.
Yeah, great music.
Music, dancing.
And we have the typical, we have the auction and the silent auction and the raffles. It is a fundraiser, and that's...
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's there for. And y'all have how many horses out there right now?
Right now we have 32.
But you go out and people either deliver them or call you or you find them and then you just bring them in, you save them, and then you adopt them out. And you know what? Horses, there's something cool about sitting out on your porch and watching horses out there grazing.
It is cool. Yeah. You know, there's a difference between
especially
horses.
Especially if you live with a place with a lot of land. It's not so good in the city.
There's a difference between horses and dogs and cats, you know, and I'm a dog guy too. But a connection with a horse is almost spiritual. As versus
absolutely,
it's just a different experience. And you know, if I tell people that if I'd have known about this 30 years ago, I would have started this 30 years ago. It's different than being an accountant.
Well, we really appreciate what you do, Jerry, and everybody that's associated with you all.
Yeah, all volunteers, by the way. We're all volunteers.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, because you love it. All right, everybody. If you got any questions, give them a call at 360-0874 or go to safehavenhorserescue.org. It's going to be April 2nd, so you still got time to buy tickets. You can buy a ticket or a table and... table of 10 guests for $375, so you save some money.
And you can decorate the table, and we give trophies out for that. We have some nice big 3-foot trophies for that.
501, so it's tax deductible.
Everything's
exactly.
Tax deductible.
And $40 for a prime rib dinner and a dance and all of that is a bargain. And it's cooked by the Anderson Rotary.
Yeah, and that's,
we all know
that's a
that they're the greatest cooks in Shasta County.
Yep.
They do this for all kinds of functions. They do a really good job of putting this food out.
We do. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Good deal.
Well, Jerry,
thanks
a lot.
Appreciate it very much. Yeah.
We'll keep this here and talk about it some more. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back
job,
in a
guys.
Couple of minutes.
Thank you.
You
very
bet,
much.
Jerry. We're going to talk about a few things, about the Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo is back in the news. We'll be right back.
And Corporate John Moylan in Tipperary with Dan Breen.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains, and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later, he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Oh, my father was an Ulster man, broad Protestant was he. My mother was a Catholic girl from County Cork, was she. They were married in two churches, lived happily enough, until the day that I was born and things got rather tough.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 on St. Paddy's Day. We're talking about everybody being together and different groups of people being able to be, you know, to work together. And the Irish were, you know, as far as being stepped on and being treated horribly, the Irish are a good example of that, as were the Jewish and the Italians and, of course, you know, blacks and Hispanics. I mean, everybody's had their time in the barrel there.
Absolutely. But look how they have assimilated into the society, and none of that stuff is there. Because they just quit making a difference about it and included everybody.
Well, back then they wanted to assimilate as fast as they could.
Exactly.
In the series Hell on Wheels, there's a quote about the Irish that I can't even use on the air, but it equated the situation of the Irish to how blacks view themselves in America today.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is that signs out there, you know, no Irish need apply. You know, all those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And okay, now, Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day is going to be happening this Saturday. It starts at 10 o'clock. They're going to have a memorial service for the Shasta County servicemen killed in action in the Vietnam War up at IGO at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. And then at noon, a Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day program will be held at the Veterans Hall. Free lunch provided by the Sons of Italy, who make just great food, too. Entertainment by the Shasta Middle School students, and a lot of different organizations going to be involved with that. If you have any questions, give Eddie McAllister a call at 524-7504. Also on the 19th, out at the city of Shasta Lake, they're going to have a 4 to 5 p.m. It's going to be a chili cook-off tasting. It's chili cook-off and roast the Donald. No, not the Donald Trump. It's Donald Spurgeon, who's one of the guys out there that works out there. But you get a chance to go down and roast him, too. And all of this happens out at the city of Shasta Lake. You can get tickets at the Big Dipper Restaurant or the Shasta Lake Gateway Library, where all the funds being raised goes to the library. Okay. Just like I said, we talked about winning roses.
This community has so many things going on a regular basis.
Yep.
You don't find something to do on the weekend, you're just not looking.
You're not trying. Okay, this guy that President Obama threw to the wolves yesterday.
Yeah,
Merrick
about that?
Garland.
And didn't matter who it was.
Didn't matter.
Doesn't matter, and why?
Well, maybe if he had said Ted Cruz. I'm going to nominate Ted Cruz to be the next Supreme Court Justice. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, Garland, who broke up. I mean, he was kind of choked up when he was, you know, he really means a lot to him. He's worked for the Supreme Court. Seems like an honorable man. However, comma.
His stance on gun control alone absolutely eliminates him.
Second Amendment eliminates him. He does not believe that an American should be able to have a gun.
That's right.
That's the way he voted.
Yes.
That is the way he's voted his whole life. I'm sorry, but that Second Amendment is just kind of a suggestion. You know, it does not mean that you can have a gun. And that, if you remember, it was 5-4. And how the Heller decision was a 5-4, I will never understand. But it was a 5-4. And now the man that he has nominated, Mr. Garland, again, seems like, again, a person that would be, you know, a good person. But his political views and the way he believes the Second Amendment should be viewed is just completely opposite of what most Americans think.
And you know, I think I, from my own point of view, I thought it was very appropriate. The Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, made it very clear, without any ambiguity whatsoever, that was how they were going to do. They were not going to entertain an appointment. They suggested it not happen. They're not going to interview him. They're not going to take a vote on it. And they were very clear about that, not once but several times. And for President Obama to just say, I'm going to shove it down your throat was more arrogance on his part.
Well, but if you, I tell you what, though, is that this is what the Democrats said to Bush when he had 17 months left in his term, not just in the last, you know, the last 6 months. However, comma, it is by the Constitution he can nominate, and so what? You know what? Let him. But this is a good chance to have this. Frankly, this is a rallying call for people to support the Republican Party and whoever their nominee is, because this is a man that would change the Second Amendment. Now, other people have said, well, you know what? If they start to look at him, he can just pull him. And let's just say that Hillary wins. Well, he can just pull that guy, Garland, and he can throw a left-wing person in there and let the Republicans fight it then. And then because when Hillary comes in, Hillary could just she can take the battle up. She can throw.
But he's not going to do it after the new president is elected.
No. No, he
won't. So he's done his grandstand play of, and then he can go back into the Oval Office, put his feet back up on our very expensive desk, and continue to be the arrogant person that he is.
Hey, by the way, let's sing a little song to one of our listeners.
Okay, here we go.
Are we ready?
We are.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dr. Maria. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
An Irish lass that you are, Dr. Maria Salas. Irish all the way through, lass. Okay.
That's great.
Okay, we go on from there.
Happy birthday, Maria.
Let's go to the phones. Jay, we got like 2 minutes, buddy.
You know, I am not surprised that Obama tried to push it through because the Republicans in Congress have been a bunch of gutless sissy lawless all this time, so why should they be any different this time?
Well, then, you're right.
One more shot at it.
Although they were
pretty clear that they weren't going to do that.
They've been clear about a lot of stuff. It doesn't mean that anything's changed. That's why the election is so important and why everybody's votes are so important this time around.
I think what he did, though, was really important for people to coalesce around. The idea is that, whoever the next president is going to name at least one judge and probably two.
More than that.
So it's important that whoever gets in this next election be one that believes in the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, doesn't believe that climate.
How about
just
believing in the Constitution?
He believes in the Constitution. There you go. Okay, Jay, thanks a lot.
You got to have somebody who matches the Scalia. I mean, you have to. Otherwise, it will completely mess everything up. Have a great day, fellas.
All right, thanks a lot.
You know, the sad part of that whole thing is, though, is I still do not believe that the establishment, the people in the Republican Party, does not get it. They still do not understand how important this election is or why Trump and Cruz are so popular with the American people.
And by the way,
if you're
half Spanish and half Irish, you can be called a leprechaun.
A leprechaun.
And a female. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. All right, here we got to take a break. Brent Weaver is in the building and will be coming in right after the break, right after the news. Carl Bott, Trish Clark. It is 8 o'clock on the 17th of March.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Secretary of State John Kerry has determined that the Islamic State terrorist group is in fact committing what is officially being dubbed now a genocide against Christians and other religious minorities in Iraq and Syria.
In my judgment, Daesh is responsible for genocide against groups in areas under its control, including Yazidis, Christians, and Shia Muslims.
The House earlier this week passed a non-binding resolution by a vote of 393-0 condemning ISIS atrocities as genocide. More Americans applied for unemployment benefits last week.
The Labor Department says the number of people seeking jobless aid went up by 7,000 to a seasonally adjusted 265,000. The less volatile four-week average increased by 750 to 268,000. The number of people collecting unemployment checks was 2.24 million, down almost 7% from a year earlier.
And his correspondent Jeremy House reporting jobless claims are seen as a proxy for layoffs. Weekly numbers below the 300,000 mark are considered to be historically low. The deficit, the broadest measure of it, the U.S. trade deficit, declined slightly in the final 3 months of 2015. For the entire year, though, the deficit jumped to the highest level in 7 years. The Commerce Department reporting today that the deficit in the current account narrowed to $125.3 billion in the fourth quarter of 2015. U.S. theme park operator SeaWorld says it will stop breeding killer whales.
We are going to end our orca breeding, so this will be the last generation of orcas at SeaWorld.
That is SeaWorld CEO Joel Manby making the announcement official this morning on CBS's This Morning. The Orlando, Florida-based SeaWorld has faced sagging attendance along with criticism about its treatment of the captive marine mammals. In fact, some activists have been calling for the end of the public exhibition of killer whales or orcas all together. SeaWorld is not going that far. On Wall Street, the Dow right now up 78 points. More information at townhall.com.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven.
There's currently no cure for Anna's condition.
We're not giving up.
Based on the incredible true story.
So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right and it healed her?
Yes.
That's impossible.
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and showtimes at miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
French investigators are looking over the Bataclan concert hall in Paris to try and learn exactly how police responded to last November's deadly terrorist attack.
One of the survivors memorably told the inquiry that she tried calling the police emergency line and couldn't get through. Once she got through, they hung up because she was whispering, because of course she was hiding from the attackers at that time. So stories like these have come out and they've led to a lot of criticism. And this parliamentary inquiry is looking at the role of the different police units, some of the infighting perhaps between the different security agencies, the role of the intelligence service, and really how the whole thing was handled.
That's BBC's Lucy Williamson reporting from Paris. Egypt's antiquities minister says analysis of scans of the famed King Tut burial chamber has revealed two hidden rooms. It could contain metal or organic material. One prominent researcher theorizing the remains of Queen Nefertiti could be inside those mysterious chambers. Breaking news and analysis from townhall.com. The Senate's top Republican is digging in when it comes to Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland. We get more from correspondent Linda Kenyon on Capitol Hill.
Even before Garland was nominated by President Obama, Senator Mitch McConnell said Republicans would not meet with, hold hearings for, or vote on any nominee named by the president. Moments after Garland was named, Senator McConnell spoke on the Senate floor, saying the matter should be left up to the next president. While McConnell's pledge could not be more clear, there are indications of some cracks in the wall. A number of Senate Republicans are saying they're willing to meet with the nominee.
Those senators include Mark Kirk, Jeff Flake, James Inhofe, and Kelly Ayotte, as well as Susan Collins. Uber launching a pilot program to get its drivers paid faster. Uber will allow its drivers now to deposit their earnings from each ride into an account with GoBank, a subsidiary of the prepaid debit card company Green Dot. Uber currently pays its drivers once a week. That's proving to be a hardship for many. More information at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Carl. And it's 58 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 77 degrees, a low of 48, sunny. And sunny on Friday of a high of 74 and a low of 49. On Saturday evening, we're looking for a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 50. And on Sunday, a 40% chance of showers, showers likely on Sunday night. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
8:07 in the morning here on the 17th of March. It's St. Patty's Day, St. Patrick's Day today. Phone lines are 605-4567. And we are brought to you for this segment by Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business located at 2143 Hilltop Drive with Espresso Joe's for the place that you get coffee, espresso, teas, beer, wine, spirits, hot dogs. They have hot dogs down there. You know, it's my guilty pleasure. And then from Espresso Joe's, walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that is absolutely fabulous. Get it all there at Tobacco and Brew. Open 7 days a week. Did I say it was a better-known business? Veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's. Now, we're sitting here, a little drum roll with Reading City Councilman Brent Weaver. Good morning, Brent.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Brent.
How are you doing
today?
Nice
to be on the radio again with you.
Yeah, I agree.
It's been a while.
I'm doing good. You know, been up for a little bit, had to go out to a few job sites, and now coming in here and looking forward to talking with you.
What job sites are you looking at?
Well, I finished up the Morris Flour Mill project up on Airport Road, and so we just got a final on that. And
wow.
It's going to a 63,000-square-foot manufacturing facility for his flour, granola, gluten-free.
So he's going to be opening soon out there?
Yeah. So at this point, we're done with the city, and you know, the next few months he'll be setting up all of his equipment inside.
Are you the contractor on that?
I am, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did general contracting work.
You know, typically I don't. You know, I got my contractor's license to build my projects downtown. But, you know, if something interesting enough comes along that, you know, I think
and that's
got to
be an interesting project.
Oh, what because I learned about food manufacturing, that's a totally different type of building.
You know, I really want to extend my best to that. You know, that's been a good company in here for so
many
years.
Very supportive of the community.
Very supportive. Great product, great concept. Manufacturing, I'm just delighted they finally found a home and can be all together. And I think that's great. Just want to wish them the very, very best.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. Just a neat family story, family business, multi-generational. And, you know, he's going to be hiring. And, hey, he stayed in Reading. So those jobs stay here.
That's good. I'm just delighted because that's great business.
His place was right down the street here.
Well, and still is. And he's going to go ahead and keep that open.
A storefront operation there?
For a while, the retail. And mm-hmm. He said as long as there's support for his downtown store, he'll keep that open.
Yeah. And is he going to have a retail shop down on Airport
Road? At the
Road?
New site, he will also have retail.
Perfect.
Yeah. Gluten-free. Is the whole place gluten-free or just parts of it?
No, just parts of it. It's got every kind of flour and If you get into any of the kind of baking or things, you need to, if you haven't been into Morris Flour Mill, you just...
Well, my wife...
You can go in there and just fill up a basket in a hurry.
Yeah, before I even
great
knew
stuff.
Who Bob Moore or the Morris Flour Mill was, you know, my wife's been buying Morris Flour forever for, you know, certain cookies.
Oh, you can go in there and you get polenta, and you can get the hot mustard if you want to make your own, and you name it, you can get all of the kind of flour. It's marvelous store.
Yeah.
I know he was backing in the Churn Creek. He wanted to see that. He wanted to see that shopping center come in there.
Well, he did because he had a plan for many years to build on that same strip, a little bit up just below the Redding City Limits line where the industrial rental place is. He had a great plan for a project there, which would have made a great opportunity for the city and the county to have a tax sharing agreement, and that would have been marvelous location because it would have had freeway access. It could have been like one of those places where you get off the freeway and stop at a cheese factory,
like a nut tree
kind of a thing. It was a great concept, great plan. Yeah. Just could never get it together with the thing
that
happened.
Churn Creek people kind of sunk him over there. Never
but it was a great concept.
Are there a lot of crops growing out of Churn Creek now?
No.
There was before the drought, meaning he was growing corn out there.
No, he was.
This is the best bottom land. This is the best bottom land, and you can't touch it because we're going to be growing crops out there.
Yeah, no.
Wrong.
No.
Okay, we all know what it was about.
Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't about that.
It wasn't about that. What a vicious fight that was.
Well, the final thing is that the only actual ag use that was out there for many, many years was the dairy. And it actually got darn near driven out of business because the people who were moving in on the little 5 acres around them didn't like the smell. So, I mean, that's just kind of a little side note about the ag bottom. But
I've told this story about Del Webb's first Sun City. it's beautiful photos and all this, and these happy people out there in little golf carts. They don't tell you like a mile and a half across an open field was spur feedlot with 60,000 cattle.
Oh.
Up to 60,000 cattle in there all the time.
Yeah.
So you had, at the very least, it was probably 10,000 cattle they were feeding. And that, when that wind shifted, you could watch, the ambulances heading for Sun City. It was a little rough.
And as soon as they moved in there, they wanted to close down that darn...
And they eventually got it. It took them like 8 years.
There you go.
But they finally got it. They bought them out finally and pushed them away.
There you
go. Now that we've talked about that, which is kind of fun... we're going to take a break. We're going to take an early break because this way we can get into things like water restrictions, the homeless question. A lot of things have come up.
Sobering centers.
And
public safety.
Yeah, and public safety and Blueprint for Safety. So we'll take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, which I just read about just a second ago. So we're going to just take a break. We'll be right back after these messages with Trish Clark and Redding City Councilman Brent Weaver.
Presenting those rowdy, rollicking Irish Rovers.
In the year of our Lord 1806, we set sail from the cold Bay of Cork. Down below, when the hold was a cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Redding. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Redding can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Redding, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at 5starbank.com. 5-Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
With whiskey, Nancy.
Welcome back to Free Fire.
Hey,
well, you know, once a year, it's my daughter's and son-in-law's wedding anniversary too. So
that's great.
Yeah, they, and I never let them forget it. I mean, not that they would, but they eloped. Which saved me money. But
I was going to say, that's not a bad thing, Carl, when
you're
the father of the bride.
And I've been married 15 years today.
Wow.
So good on them. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur right here in Reading. Locally owned, locally operated. He can match or beat the prices of the big stores on guns, a lot of the guns. Anything you want for shooting accessories, whether it's ammo, reloading equipment, anything, optics, he's got it all at Bastiani Arms, and he prides himself, and all of his people do too. He's got a lot of people there, been there for the whole 7 years he's been open. Customer service, great gunsmithing, he's got it all right there. Bastiani Arms, and he gives great discounts to veterans. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur right here in Reading. Give him a call at 222-8222. Trish Clark and I are here with our guest, Reading City Councilman Brent Weaver, and we talked a little bit about, you know, just as we started about, you know, some construction projects going on. But the big thing that came up was the homeless question. And, you know, there was this, oh, we're going to take five people and house them immediately by June. And when that was said, you know, this person here, I didn't like that. As did, it seems like, a lot of other people. It's a great idea to try and help homeless. Yes, we need to help homeless. Was that the best way of helping the situation that we are in right now? Brent Weaver took the lead in this and in the other side of this, and has been getting, and has been some consternation ever since.
Sure. So, you know, first of all, I'm grateful that this discussion's being had, and like public safety or unfunded liabilities or something that, you know, is going to evoke a lot of emotion, there's going to be differences of opinion on tactics we might use. And so I think that's, we've got to be very clear that having the homeless discussion, moving the ball forward, getting people, you know, wherever they are and getting them, you know, a hand up and get them out of that, you know, tailspin they might be in their lives, and helping them to improve their lives. That is absolutely something we should be doing. We have a lot of current players in that space, nonprofits, and the county plays a role, and the city with their vouchers plays a role. But there are going to be, from time to time, tactics that come up that, you know, there should be debate, and there, you know, let that be in the public square, and let's talk about it. And so the housing first, that's a, you know, it's an interesting concept. It's something I have personally been reading and researching about for a few years. And there are parts I like about it. You know, on one side, I can appreciate the intellectual argument is this: somebody who potentially is suffering from mental illness, addictions, they're not in a stable environment. You know, what the thought is behind it is if you stabilize them, it might lead them to making better decisions. I can appreciate that. I will tell you, as a landlord, I've rented to all types of people in my buildings, you know, from, you know, those who are working and, you know, really got their acts together to, you know, I've housed actually a few homeless people. And what for me, my perspective was I think this issue really became like the new puppy dog in the community. You know, it evoked, you know, there was a lot of what I call religious fervor around this new idea, and there was these statistics, you know, that in Utah, 91, you know, reduced chronic homelessness by 91%, and that gets a lot of people's attention. And I think we've got to be very careful. I've learned in the business world, when you hear things that might sound too good to be true, I think it's not a bad thing to be skeptical, and especially for a community like Reading, before we embark upon some new policies, some really big changes in policy, I think, you know, that discussion needs to be had. So I think for me, I appreciate the conversation, appreciate it came to the council chambers, appreciated, you know, the respect on both sides to hear it out. But for me, there are, you know, a lot of questions that are still unanswered there before I could get behind that.
And the issue really boils down to the fact that 91% decrease needs to be looked at a little stronger, because that 91% decrease is strictly in that chronic homeless population. People that are homeless are probably going to remain homeless, and there really isn't an expectation that you're going to change that by putting them in housing. All you're going to do is take them off the street.
Yeah.
They're probably never going to go out of the housing you put them in. And that's where that decrease is, because people get the impression that is in the overall homeless.
Correct.
And that isn't true.
Yeah. And you know, there was a letter to the editor roughly 7-8 months ago that you know, again, talked about, it said Utah reduced homelessness by 91%. That chronic got left out. And today, the chronic homeless population in Utah, which, by the way, you know, I went to college out there. My wife's from Salt Lake. I'm out there a few times a year, so I'm watching this. I have college roommates that work in Salt Lake. And the chronic homelessness today is 4% of Utah's homeless population.
Let's go back to that just for a second.
Sure.
Because this is one of the things that
chronic homeless as opposed to homeless.
This is what people need to understand. There's chronic homeless that have been without a home for, you know, their definition of what chronic homeless is. Only 4% of the homeless there, because they've still got thousands of people on the streets
that are homeless
in Utah without homes. This chronic homeless that they put in, even by the numbers that Lloyd Pendleton uses, he sat right where you're sitting here a few couple months ago, said 10% worked their way out. I'm off. You just, Bob, the button needs to be, there you go. We have static electricity in here. When you sit down every so often, it'll pop.
Oh.
And that's what happened then. What he said was that 10% will get themselves off the homeless list. 10%. 10% get kicked out because they break the laws. Another 10 or 15% just wander away. And, you know, now all these percentages aren't going to add up, but the big percentage at 50% plus never leave the housing.
Yeah.
They are there forever. Now, with that in mind, but that's only a percentage of the population of homeless there.
And it's a very small percentage.
Right. Okay.
And again, you know, I would say, let's be careful. I think applaud that, hey, 10%, you know, they're getting hopefully from wherever whatever station they're at in life, and they're getting them off. Let's use another analogy closer to home. So, as you know, part of the research over the last several years is, you know, looking at San Francisco, and I think it's really interesting that between 2004 and 2011, San Francisco housed in transitional housing with services roughly 10,000 plus or minus people, and it dropped their homeless population from 21,000 down to about 11. And everyone was patting themselves on the back and saying, hey, we reduced our homelessness. Well, fast forward to where we are today, their homeless population is back up to 26,000, 27,000. They have, and now they're having to come up with a new term for transitional housing. And so what I say
what
is,
what do you mean by a new term?
Because it's not transitional housing.
Because now they're just
permanent.
And so what I would just offer up in this discussion is, hey, in good faith, we need to have this discussion. We need to be challenging ourselves and getting outside of our biases, but we also need to be careful and look at the data that's out there, and especially with, you know, Reading and our general fund and coming out of this recession. I'm not sitting here saying we shouldn't be having this discussion, but we've got to be careful how we go down this road, because I've seen communities, they've wasted a lot of taxpayer resources and not gotten a lot of return on investment there.
So the Utah plan obviously isn't going to work in a city like Reading because, one, we don't have, one, the resources, two, we don't have the people backing it. I mean, let's face it.
They have a different form of government than they do in Utah, for one thing.
In Utah, I mean, the government and religion is intertwined. And the church is behind us. The Mormon church is behind us too. So, okay, so here we are in Redding. Okay, so that one goes away. So what's the plan of the city council to address the homeless? Yeah.
So what I was speaking about that night was, as far as my view of, you know, the city council and local government is, I would be for continuing the city council and the city of Redding doing a lateral partnership where, you know, a great example would be Northern Valley Catholic Social Services said, hey, we have a great idea for this project, the Palm Communities Project over there by Juniper School, where they're going to have on-site services, job skills training, a certain number of the, I think 56 rooms are going to be for mental health, low income. And so what happened is they took the lead and they said, but we're going to need some partnerships. So the city came in and partnered, and this organization down in Southern California came in and partnered. They got tax credits. And so that project's off and running. Let's look at Good News Rescue Mission. Good News Rescue Mission, they have their private funding, but there are ways where the county and the city assist them, and they have their job skills training, drug addiction, and they have transitional housing. Today, the city of Redding has, we have housing vouchers that we can hand out, and we are not able to meet the demand on those vouchers, but we give preferential treatment to three groups in our community. One is domestic violence abuse victims, so people staying at one safe place. Two is veterans, and three is termed out foster care. And I think we, you know, if an organization out there comes to us and says, hey, we got a great idea that's going to get people from where they are today, not being productive members of society, and we can get them, and they can show they either, A, have a track record, or, you know, then I'm eyes open, ears open. I want to see what we can do. But I think we got to be very careful as the city who we don't have services, case management today. I think we can partner laterally. But for us to do a vertical top-down approach with the city taking the lead, I just don't think we're not equipped. We don't have the institutional knowledge to go there. But I think we can partner, and we have on several projects.
And the voucher program, the way you're handling that is a prevention mode. It's from taking these people from domestic violence, the termed out foster group, and the I forgot what the other one was, but they're all people that could become very easily that new set of homeless where you can push them up instead of letting them continue to drop down.
Yeah. And this is
major.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the umbrella organization over this that's kind of putting this together so that they can use all their assets pointing in one direction? The problem we have around here is we have a lot of rice bowls, everybody wanting to do their own thing, fighting for a certain limit of money in the mm-hmm. pot. Mm-hmm. So is there going to be an umbrella organization that's going to be kind of pushing this together? What about the idea of the sobering center or a day center for homeless that are out there right now that they're not going to get housing? They're not going to go to Good News Rescue Mission. A lot of them have mental problems. You've only got 52, mm-hmm. beds there, and that's filled up in a week.
Yeah.
And we don't have any room in the jail. So what about that? What's the city doing about that?
So,
and you can talk about that as soon as we get back after this break, because this is going to be a longer one, too.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, voted best in the North State many times, but the latest last year. Over 20 years of outstanding service, Martin and his people. Martin, of course, is an Army veteran and does everything very, very well. He can handle any types of heating and cooling systems, whether it's your house or your business. He's got a great crew out there working for him. Give him a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at humcomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. Trish Clark and I will be back in a minute with Councilman Brent Weaver. We want to talk about what are we doing now with a sobering center and a day center? We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies.
Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved.
Not very far, just a couple hundred yards to the west.
So they can build a new and bigger and better showroom and service facility for you.
It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be incredible when it's completed.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved to 380 East Cypress while they build their new facility. So let's have a moving sale.
All 2016 Kia Sorentos, 16 Kia Optimas, Fortes, Sportages, Souls, and Rios are priced to move.
Make no payments for 90 days on new 16 Optimas and Sorentos, Redding's go-to fun vehicle.
0% financing available on certain models.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every new car purchased.
And America's best warranty.
Hit them up. Move them out. Come on in.
Subject to prior sale ends April 1st. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for 0% offer, plus tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation fees, and any emission testing charges.
Well done.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved.
Redding Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and RedingKia.com.
Don't miss the moving sale at Redding Kia.
The guys from Shasta Lake Floors have just got back from visiting flooring manufacturers from around the world, keeping up with the newest technology in floor covering. Several years ago, Shasta Lake Floors introduced Smart Strand Triexta, the most stain-resistant carpet in the industry. This year, we have discovered innovations in hardwood floors with scratch resistance like never before. Having been in the flooring business for over 40 years, we understand the importance of service and product knowledge. You have our word that Shasta Lake Floors will always offer you products and provide the service best suited to your needs. Whether it be Smart Strand, the bleach-resistant carpet, luxurious Karastan carpets, or hardwood and tiles of excellent quality, Shasta Lake Floors offers the best products installed by the area's best trained technicians. And Shasta Lake Floors can guarantee the lowest price on even the most luxurious floor coverings. 8-time winner of Best in the North State, Shasta Lake Floors is the place to go for your new floors or granite countertops. And yes, we have financing up to 48 months. Come and see us at 4052 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. We are now open on Sundays. Visit us Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Oh, Daddy boy, the pipes are calling.
Fire.
From glen to glen.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Of course, you hear a lot of Irish music today, being St. Patty's Day.
Absolutely.
St. Patrick's Day.
And everybody in the studio is wearing green except Carl.
Well, how do you know what I'm wearing?
Oh, well, you got it.
Easy there.
We're not going to check that out right now.
It's a giant four-leaf clover there.
Okay.
It's 8:32 in the morning, 58 degrees.
I'll check with Linda on that.
And so we're going up to 78 today. Going to be bright and sunshiny. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Best place in the North State, maybe even all of California, get a haircut. It's the Cheers of barbershops. It's man's last stronghold. It's where every man goes to get his haircut. I'm not pointing at anybody, but I just want to make sure. You know, some men go to styling shops. The only styling done at Cypress Square Barbershop is you might get a little butch wax in your hair or something like that. But that's it.
I actually walked by Cypress Square Barbershop yesterday.
It's always packed. It's a great place. Yeah. Again, it's off site. It's in the Cypress Square Shopping Center right off Athens. Keep going a little bit further. You can go into the Classic Cafe and see Millie and Kathy. What a great couple they are, couple of ladies they are.
With all their new kitchen equipment.
Well, I tell you what, they're not going to have some kind of like corned beef and cabbage today. I don't know for sure, but if they don't, they're missing their chance today.
I'm sure they are.
And you can always get chipped beef on toast there, too. SOS. Okay, we're back with Redding City Councilman Brent Weaver, and of course, Trish Clark's here with me today on Thursday. And we talked about we're coming into the sobering center as the Utah plan is kind of like has been pushed to the side because the city council in your vote said, yeah, we'll look at it, but this doesn't fit. And we've got other organizations that are stepping up, but there's not going to be enough room. So now the idea of the sobering center.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, we had the what we call the implementation team, which has Larry Lees, Kurt Starman, the two chiefs, and the sheriff myself and Leonard Modi, we've been meeting on the blueprint. And so a few weeks ago, we had that implementation team meet with the supervisors and the city council on all of those recommendations that do not require additional revenue. In April, the implementation team will be coming back to the council and the supervisors to talk about the Tier 1 through 5 recommendations. And we've been working really hard on that as a team to, you know, to give a recommendation to the supervisors and the council. And, you know, ultimately, they'll leave it to them to, you know, as bodies to make a decision and where we go forward. And I will share with you, though, that as part of that discussion of what's coming back in April, the Sobering Center is a part of that discussion. And the reason why I think that should be exciting for our community is, you know, certainly on issues that are polarizing, like homelessness and transientness and giving a hand up. This, to me, is one of those solutions that really should satisfy people on both sides of an issue like this, because, you know, on one side you have those in social service that want to help people, give pair them with services, and that's where, you know, that person who is just, you know, day in, day out, you know, drunk, whatever, high, they can get to a location where there are going to be services. And maybe that first, second, third time they don't want to reach out for services, but you know, maybe that fifth or sixth time they do. So that's nice. Now, on the law enforcement side, it takes roughly an hour and a half to 2 hours for a police officer to check somebody into our jail system. And we've been told, you know, again, if the San Antonio model, you know, holds true here, we're looking at roughly 15 to 30 minutes to check somebody in there. So we get those officers back on the street doing proactive, you know, proactive work.
Can save it.
Yeah.
If you look at the number of people they arrest just for drunkenness, it could be up to 1,000 hours or more, 1,200 yeah. hours they save each year.
Yeah.
So that means they're
and
back on the streets.
Yeah.
It is huge.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way that the so we're talking the Sobering Center here. Is it going to be a large one? Is it going to be, how many can it handle? Are we talking about this expansion into a day center so that homeless can come in there and kind of instead of going to the library, they go to this place?
So we have our I'll tell you a few things on funding and then kind of where the leadership team's coming together. So we have Mayor MacArthur has scheduled a meeting. It's already on the calendar, I think, in the next two and a half weeks. She's invited, you know, I think everyone that she believes has a stake in this discussion, from Hill Medical Clinic to the county to Shasta Community Health, Chief Paletti. So she's going to try to have nonprofits, law enforcement there, and we're going to start this discussion of, you know, I think location, who would run it. But then the elephant in the room of any discussion is, where's the funding? So I'll tell you two things. With the sale of, you know, we're currently, the city council is in negotiations with the old police station, and we've said if that transaction goes through, that $360,000 of that sale would get earmarked for a sobering center. Now, that's obviously not going to be enough to, you know, get it established and run it, but it's a starting point. And then there's also some discussion that there would be some other avenues where funding would come into this. And the county's also said, hey, we want to partner on this.
You know, and I know that this discussion is overwhelming to the community, and I always am a realist and think that there should be a similar situation, some kind of a task force going forward by both the city and the county to look at that whole new revenue situation. And part of that has to be a change of attitude back to both departments, the planning departments of both regimes, that says, how can we help entrepreneurs reestablish manufacturing and jobs in Shasta County? Throughout Shasta County, City of Redding, how can we make it easier for a business to come in, expand, as Morris Flour Mill just did, without going through 10 years to get there? How can we do some turnaround stuff to let these people create jobs, which would help that homeless situation, not only by bringing in new revenue, but putting some of those people to work?
So, Carl, we got a little time. Can I respond to that?
Of course, because that is a
high softball coming in for me, and
we're looking at Costco.
Yeah.
I mean, a perfect example. I mean, that's why you're teeing it up. We may lose Costco.
We're not losing Costco.
Okay.
We're not losing Costco.
So Brent Weaver says that we're not losing Costco, and if we do, he'll resign.
But beyond Costco.
Him finish this. Are you that certain we're not going to lose Costco?
What I will say is you have capable people negotiating and talking, and I think it's important that in negotiations like this, you know, you don't see us out talking to the newspaper. But I will just say this. myself, there are others, our city manager, we understand how critical it is to remain the leader in retail for the North State. And I will just say this. Hey, I don't begrudge Les Baugh. I don't begrudge Anderson. I don't begrudge any other community saying they want Costco. I'd want Costco, too, if I lived. But I will tell you this. We are not losing Costco.
But this is a bigger picture than Costco. This is a change of mindset in both the planning departments and how we go about it. And I'm not, I keep hitting on the city or the Board of Supervisors about this because it's a mindset. And I'm not, I think, you know, if you have a city of Reading, absolutely, you don't lose that because that is huge money. But for the Board of Supervisors to come out and take a position supporting Costco staying in the city of Reading is counterproductive to their mission. Their mission is to provide services for their sheriff's department. They need money to do that, so they should be supporting, citing, if they're going to take a position, which I don't think they should, it should be in the unincorporated area and or Anderson, where they have a share of that sales tax revenue. I'm just saying, the mindset, bigger than Costco, on every business that comes up here and says, I want to create 20 jobs, we all ought to be knocking ourselves down to make it happen.
Yeah. And, you know, Trish, you alluded to, you know, earlier on in the show about, I think, you know, down at Churn Creek, the city and the county needs to, city of Reading, I should say, they, you know, we need to figure out how we can work together on some of those areas with
new
tax sharing and new revenue. And again, you know, I think that's what's good about elections. New people come in, those old scars from the past discussions. When we are scheduled to sit down in the next few weeks, I think we got to go in there with eyes open and in good faith and look at new revenue.
Recognize you're not going to make a deal to take any money away from somebody who's already got it and share it with somebody else. But new revenue, never before realized, you can make really good arrangements about how you're going to share into the future
you're
to keep both entities healed.
But going back to the original question was...
Yeah. Sorry
the
about
bringing
that.
Dived off. Well, you know, you've got your dog in a fight here. Is the fact we talked about Costco, but what about business coming in here? I mean, and making it easier. I mean, this is the perfect example of what happens over 10 years when we've got other businesses that we could bring in here.
Okay, so Carl, have you had Larry Vopple on the show yet?
We have.
Okay,
great. I mean, his attitude is super, but. He, unless he gets a lot of support,
and he is,
and he's fighting against an institutionalized mindset that
how
was
how can we
that
make
was,
your life difficult?
How I'm going to do my job, and to do my job, I have to you have to adhere to these regulations.
Okay, so I cannot say enough about what Larry Vopple is doing as far as bringing in new energy, a fresh set of eyes. So for those listening who don't know who Larry Vopple is, he's the Development Services Director. He basically runs the building department and the planning department. And he to me, is at the tip of the spear as far as when Trish says, what can the city do? And I agree, it needs to be the county and the city. Yes,
he was on here and came across great.
So the first 4 to 6 weeks, these are things I saw him do that I got excited about. So first thing he did is he hosted open houses by subcontractor trade. He brought in the plumbers, brought in the electricians, brought in the framers, architects, and he said, hey, what can we do to better serve you? What can we do to get that red tape out? How can we move these projects through faster? Love that he's engaging the community. So they know who he is. They got his phone number. They can call him. That's part of it. It's bringing down those walls that were there before, the silos, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give another real world example for downtown. He just posted on his he did a tweet. You know, I'm trying to get with the 21st century. I just got on Twitter right after the new year. And so you know, I think I'm following 80 people. I got 90 followers. Half of them are my kids. And Larry put a tweet out there a few days ago that they're getting ready to hire a new code enforcement supervisor. And so we've had some success now with the Hilltop Lodge that got bulldozed. We currently have the Americana under litigation going to a receivership. We have the Reading Inn through the district attorney's office under litigation. And Larry gets the message, which is, again, government does not create jobs, but they create a level playing field. And when we let these slumlord hotels, motels be in our places of commerce, it's hard for other people to want to come and invest next door when you know that you got, you know, some unsavory characters, you know, living in some of these hotels. So that to me, it's a lot of things we are going to have to try to make it more welcoming for businesses to come here. But, you know, downtown, Hilltop, we talked about code enforcement. Part of it's going to be just getting out and talking with those who are the agents of change, agents in business, and that he started that process. So couldn't agree with you anymore, Trish, and I think we're on a good starting path here with Larry Bopple.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Carl, Trish, and Brent.
Morning.
Hey,
morning.
Great show as usual. Hey, listen, we all hear these problems forever and ever and ever and ever. But you got two problems, of course, in the city operations that is causing this. Lack of money and the inability for this city to get out of its own way. Number one is that it is too top-heavy in its salaries. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I mean ludicrous, what our upper-level management is getting paid. And if that's not readdressed, we ain't going to go anywhere. Secondly, the impact fees for any kind of building in that city are so prohibitive that anybody is not going to do it. City of Anderson is going to get all the homes. And there is 200 to 300 inner-city lots inside Reading, a lot here, a lot there, that have already had the impact fees already paid for years ago that are still undeveloped. And if there isn't a moratorium on those lots, at least those lots, if not new subdivisions, a reduction in more impact fees, this city is going to die on the vine, and that's my opinion, and Carl knows how I feel about it, and something's got to be done.
Okay.
The salaries paid to these people are absolutely outrageous. Four supervisors for REU and Kurt Starman making $350 a year. I mean, $350,000 a year. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I'll let you guys go. Bye.
Thanks, Billy Bob.
That's a lot of people are saying that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comments in the chat.
How are we doing on time, Carl? We got a minute
okay,
or two.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break here,
okay.
And then we'll come back with this because I want to hit that one. I want to hit that. Yeah, because that was one of my questions. Raises for the management when there's no COLA for anybody else. So something's going on here. Yeah. We'll be right back after these messages. Okay.
Rodeo, steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding. Rodeo. Reading Rodeo. The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to readingrodeo.com, click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of bright and jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Jay Leno, Saturday, March 26th, 8 p.m., Reading Civic Auditorium.
Police say an 84-year-old man pepper sprayed a security guard during a dispute at a retirement community bingo game in Florida. The old guy said he was fed up, said he told the security guard he had it up to here, and that was just his pants, okay? That wasn't even counting. That pants up to here.
Buy tickets at the box office by calling 530-229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com. Presented by Reading Civic Auditorium.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bont and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, the 17th of March, St. Paddy's Day, 58 degrees, going up to 77 today. It's going to be a beautiful week. I think rain's starting to come back Sunday, maybe Saturday night, but Sunday. Also, the Sports and Show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction with Ted Leidy. This is what this business is. It's not a part-time job with him. He's got a number of NRA instructors that he has working for him, most complete CCW training in Northern California. Plus, he is into the training of juniors out there for in the wild turkey hunting, which is where he's out right now, I think, finding different places, taking 21 children out, or kids, or young people, I should say, and their guardians out for a turkey hunt this Saturday. Give him a call at 999-1822 or register online at readingccw.com. We're here with Brent Weaver, Reading City Councilman, and we've got like 12 minutes left, and we've got to get all this stuff in here.
We've got 25 minutes left and a short time to put it in.
Yeah. We've got 25? No, we've got like 10.
No, I think we've got 25 minutes.
Okay, unfunded liabilities. And then what Billy Bob said is, what about all these salaries and comments here, of course, in the chat room?
Yeah. So, hard to have a discussion like this in 1 to 2 minutes. But what I will share with you is I actually shared this this statistic at a previous council meeting, which is you take 100 businesses, and within 10 years, 96 are going to go out of business. And the research is, it's not that the ideas might not be great for these businesses or what, but people are typically financially illiterate. They said that's the primary reason why these businesses go out. They might have a great business idea, but they're financially illiterate. And I'll just tell you, as somebody who's made it past the 10-year mark in my business, before I start any discussion, the fiscal parameters or pressures have to be it has to precede any conversation for me, whether it's the homeless discussion, whether it's public safety. How are we going to pay for this? Because, hey, I'm walking into this, and decisions that were made for decades and decades before I got here are, quite frankly, have created the pressures on this general fund with unfunded liabilities that this is the world I have to live in now. Okay. And what I will tell you, now having sat in dozens and dozens of closed sessions where I've negotiated labor contracts, I won't get into specifics as it's not appropriate, but what I will tell you is, what is my thought process as I'm trying to grapple and make decisions on when I would authorize a raise or when I would not? And what I would tell you, Carl and Trish, and for the audience, is being a small business owner in the private sector and having 40 plus employees, my thought process is always, can I retain good employees? Am I competitive enough in my wages to be able to run my organization? And I often will state that it's Meeks Lumber or Payless or one of these 84 Lumber that kind of helps create that competitive marketplace of where you compensate so that my people that I train for a few years don't jump and go to someplace else. So a question I often ask staff when they come back and they'll give a report on this negotiating body, this labor body, the first question I will have for that negotiator or that director of that department is, are you having a staffing problem? Are you having retention or recruiting issues? And that helps me govern where I'm going to go. Now, Larry Vopple is a great example. We did our first hiring, went out there to the marketplace to see who we could get to come in and take Bill Nagel's spot. Our top two candidates said, we don't want to come to Reading because we can stay in lower positions in where we currently live and make the same amount of money you're offering. So we went up 7%, and we got hammered for that. But what I will say is, if you get good people at the helm running these departments, they can save you more money than that extra you might pay him to be competitive in the marketplace. So there's not a one.
Yeah, but Larry Vopple took less money. He took less money than he was making at where the spot he was at. Is that correct? I think it is. You may have to go back and ask. But he came out here. Yeah, you did increase it. I understand that. Right. But he's making less money than he was because coming here was the idea that he loves being here.
Outdoors, that's cost of living, and so those things. But again, it wasn't until we upped it that went
up. No, and I understand that. But we're talking about is bringing somebody in here. But we've got people here. Yeah. That Kurt Starman, love him, but he's making $300,000+. I put him in the top one half of 1% in this.
But you got to be careful with that when you throw out those numbers. That's not
that includes
salary.
No, that includes
health care,
everything,
pension, pension over the course.
Yeah.
And I will say this, Kurt's worth every penny of what we pay him. The decisions I've seen him make to keep us out of the red going through the recession and today, to get somebody of comparable quality, we would be hard-pressed. Kurt has done a lot of good behind the scenes that 90% of what he has done, people don't see.
Well, I just want to say one thing, though, because I'm going to jump to the other side, and I usually am on the side that Carl's on, but right. I have to tell you that you compare the county and the city, and that is exactly the problem that like the sheriff's department is having. The pay scale for our sheriff's deputies and county employees is so low compared to the city of Reading and the competing agencies that all we are is a training ground at the county for people. Bring them in, get them scared up, and they immediately move up to the city.
And I understand that. And I'm not saying that Kurt doesn't do a lot of good work. Like I said, I really like Kurt. But we're looking at, again, okay, we've got people there, but now we're giving raises to the management.
Yeah.
And when we're giving raises to the management and everybody in the world is telling us, oh, no, no, that cost of living is zero because, you know, all the prices are down, the gas is down. I mean, Social Security are not getting a cost of living.
Yet
we're giving 4 to 7% to all the managers.
Okay. So here's the part that the public doesn't see. So what they see is, okay, they just got this cost of living increase. But here's the part that doesn't kind of make it into these radio discussions or in the paper. What we negotiated, though, was that they were going to contribute more for the retirement, whether it was in PERS or some in PARS. And what I will tell you, bottom line is this, we're where we are today, we cannot solve the unfunded liability problem in one day, one week, one year. But this is my philosophy. If we keep taking base hits every year and we keep electing good people who are fiscally conservative, each year we keep taking these base hits. And I will tell you, there is a lot of movement and progress being made on the laboring bodies taking their fair share of their contributions.
Their employee share. Yeah, there you go.
That has been where so much of our focus has been, is correcting the contributions into PERS and PARS to bring those costs down. With what was done with Measure A, Measure B in 2012, there are a lot of things that we are bringing those costs down, but it's incremental, and it's year in, year out. Making
it has an impact on what the employees are taking home.
All right,
what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay, so what percentage would you say that's working out at? Where before, if it started at 0%, you know, that they're getting all this money and they're not paying in, at what level would you say we're at now?
Well, with PERS,
because I agree
and I
with
can't,
what you're
and
saying.
I can't speak for every laboring body. In fact,
in
one of our recent meetings
with
Kurt, I said, Kurt, can you get me a spreadsheet of every laboring body and where they fall on PERS and PARS? Because we've been at this, at least with my time on it, for a year, 4 or 5 months. And with PERS, we're getting to the point where, I want to be careful, I'm not going to say every laboring body, but almost every laboring body is now contributing the 7%, the full cost and expense to the city.
And that's where you're building, to make sure everybody's doing that.
And before, they weren't doing that at all.
Right. Well, to varying degrees.
Right.
To varying degrees.
So now everybody's going to be paying 7%, which is...
They're going to be paying the employee share.
The entirety of the employee share. Then the other part is PARS. And, you know, negotiating on that. So we obviously, there with Measure A, Measure B, PEPRA, there was a line drawn in the sand that if you were hired before that point, you know, you're going to get that. But if you're hired after the point, you don't get PARS. So this is now, as we're negotiating with PARS, it's not for new hires. This is for those who were existing that got grandfathered in. And I will tell you, there's been a lot given by the laboring bodies on that front. And so what I will say is there's typically a balancing act we're doing there where, hey, if you give us something here, we'll give you that cost of living. And typically it's revenue neutral. Everything we've negotiated on my time on that has been revenue neutral because we've gotten concessions in other areas. So that, again, it's got to be base hits every year. You're just making good decisions.
Okay. You didn't get there overnight. Right. You're not going to get out of it overnight, but you're making progress.
Okay, last question here. Y'all just voted 4-1 to accept on water restrictions in, you know, with the water coming down right now where I'm having to get repairs in the bottom of my house because so much water is poured through. So you got like a minute to tell us about
this. You know, and so I'm looking at your really impressive whiteboard there on the wall, and it says that the lake's currently at, 1,042?
We got 25 feet to go.
We got 25 feet to go. So, you know, and I'm telling everyone, hey, I booked my houseboat. You know, it's been 4 or 5 years since my family.
Holiday Harbor, get out there, guys.
But tell us what you really did.
Okay, tell us about this.
But the point is, our lakes are filling up. Okay, and so what happened this week as far as what the council voted on, we were basically accepting the staff report from Director Crane, and right now we don't know where the state's going to come in at as far as what restricted, you know, where we're going to have to restrict our water use. We don't know. But what they've said, you know, as of right now with the data and information we have, last year you were at 36% you needed to reduce. We're telling you that if, you know, things stay the same, you're going to be roughly 33%. But it's not, we don't know that for sure yet. You know, we got to finish out the rain season, and then, you know, Director Crane will come back and say, all right, this is where we're going to have to be, and then he will marry a plan to that as far as if we have to hit the 33 or if it's 30 or 27, as far as how we educate the public on, you know, watering, how many days of the week, you know, water consumption, all the above. So it's something we're watching, very concerned about it, grateful we got somebody like Director Crane who is on top of this. But,
okay.
But the good news is our lakes are filling up right now.
Right. But, okay, let's look at it like this, though. I mean, it, just because the state says to us, you've got to cut back 33%, and we've got water, you know, coming out, oozing out of the ground, why would we have to do that? Because the people down south have to do that, but why would we have to do that? Can't we just say, no, we're going to do, I tell you what, we want to help, but we're only going to do 25%.
So
what happens then?
Well, okay, so last year we conserved 27%, so we didn't hit our 36% target. So, you know, you hear that going, oh, wow, we came up, you know, 9%
short. We could
short.
Be penalized.
And you could be penalized and get penalties. However, you also got to take into account that the rest of the state of California only came in at 24%. So we actually did better than the rest of the
right.
state. So it's something we've got to show good faith, diligence in trying to meet those numbers. But, again, we exceeded the rest of the state, and, you know, we did a good job up here. We did a good job.
And the bottom line is we really need to, in the state of California, on an ongoing basis, to figure out a way to use our water better.
I agree.
Because it's an ongoing issue, and it isn't just an issue when we have a drought.
It's not going to be settled here, but this was some of the people that are really interested in the river and all the things that are going on, and they see they see us having to go back and restrict 33%, and apparently the city council said, oh, okay, we'll do that. When indeed,
we're just accepting the staff report.
Okay.
We don't even know what the restriction percentage is going to be yet.
Okay.
Set in